capital L C I T Y. That's how it is.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Tigers Down Under, our 250th regular episode. I realized just beforehand, I was putting the notes together and realized that we'd hit the milestone, which is pretty cool. But with me this week, I have Dan. How are you, Dan?
Yeah, look, I'm all right. I was a bit disappointed. I didn't actually quite get to watch the game. I did all the hard work and I stayed up right until the very right at the end, and then I just couldn't quite last the distance, and I collapsed at about 12:40, I think it was.
I'll tell you what, you didn't miss a whole lot in the sense that BN Sports, and they copped it from me on Twitter and by email during the game, because at halftime I started getting all these pop-ups on my screen saying, oh, you've got multiple streams open, you can't keep watching. I went, what's going on? Exited out of the stream, and the BN Sports 2 and the BN Sports 3 streams just completely vanished off the website, off the app, off everything. So I couldn't, I watched the second half through Bet365 has streamed, so I didn't have any commentary. And then I caught up. They put up the on-demand replay right after the game, so I watched that. But yeah, if you saw at least a bit of the first half, you probably caught most of it in terms of what we could watch live anyway. But look, it was a good game. I actually didn't realize going into the game what our streak against Cardiff actually looked like. And when you think about it, we have had quite a few good results against them in recent times, and I think this made it 6 wins in a row. We had, of course, the 3-2 win with Slater bagging a double last season against them there. And earlier this season, of course, probably our most comprehensive home performance in that 3-0, well, other than the Chef Wednesday game, with that 3-0 win. And when you consider, you know, they've beaten Coventry recently, they've beaten Ipswich recently, it's actually a pretty good result. I don't know what it is about them, but we just seem to match up pretty well.
Yeah, I think going into the game, you know, not under the best not in the best run of form ourselves. There was concern, because it was sort of another one of those must win. If we're going to try and retain any sense of hope of staying in that race for sixth at all, and so. You know, it's been those sorts of games throughout the year where we, or throughout the season, I should say, where we've sort of stumbled at those hurdles. Where it's like, this is a game we have to win to consolidate, or to make up that distance, or to put distance between. And it always seems whenever we sort of put that importance on a game is where we sort of stumbled and fallen. So it was good. I think it was a good response to the last couple of games. I don't think. I think the Leeds result isn't necessarily a full indicator of, the game in total. I think it was a decent contest overall. So, but the Stoke game was pretty disappointing. So to sort of, you know, put that run to bed and with a nice solid, a really strong performance was good. I sort of watched the highlights and I think, you know, Carvalho's second goal in particular, I was like, this is probably the best piece of play. Like, admittedly helped by Cardiff's very static defence, but, you know, the crispest, nicest piece of passing, like right through the middle of them, just it was sensational.
It's a funny one, because, I mean, it feels like that's the sort of goal that, and I think the club actually very deliberately said, you know, this is Rosie ball, because we get so much criticism or so much complaint around the way that we play, and that goal seems to typify this is what the outcome should be. We can, when we move the opposition around, play the ball through them, it should end with a couple of lovely passes sort of splitting the defense and a pretty easy tap in essentially, or, you know, slotting it in the bottom corner, which was great to see. And it's where we kind of come back to I don't know what to put my finger on this season, that what's gone wrong in some games, where I look at it and think, this Cardiff game, to me, I didn't necessarily think we played all that differently. It was just that it worked against Cardiff. And you sort of look at the fact that I don't know if we had a whole lot of chances in the second half, where in other games, if it was 1-0 or 1-1 or something like that, and we had the same sort of second half, you kind of go, people would be pretty critical. And mm. the fact that Philogene's goal comes from Cardiff literally gift wrapping it for us. Mm. And we've had a few of those this season where teams have, you know, that I'm thinking there's that Chef Wednesday goal that I think it was, oh, someone who tapped in that. It wasn't too fan. It was whoever got the other goal in that game where the Wednesday player just played it backwards for us to tap it in. But I just sort of think it was a good performance. Don't get me wrong, but it's where that frustration comes from of like, well, it's not as if we've done something differently and we go, hey, look, here's the magic formula. This is how we'll succeed. It's just, this is what we keep trying to do. More often than not, it doesn't seem to work, but when it does work, it looks great.
Yeah, I think, I guess, it's that sort of, I guess that perspective when you look back at the game and you go, you know, why is this one different to, like, if we have a less, you know, convincing first half, I guess, like, then why is this, you know, why do we look at it so negatively? And I guess it's about, like, the probably the main criticism across the season has over our forwards has been an inability to convert chances. And so I guess when you go, you know, we had a couple of good chances in the first half, we put them away, then that second half where, you know, maybe we weren't as dominant or we didn't create as many chances doesn't necessarily have as much of an impact as it does when you wasted all those chances either in the first half or just as many times as been late in the second half when we've been trying to peg a goal back or break that, you know, away from, you know, try and get a winning goal in the last 10 or 15 where we seem to create with no sort of end product. So I think that's just, I think it's just that frustration where we seem to have, and it's a really weird thing to say that we have, like, with a lack of, you know, clinical edge when you've got, what, Philogene's on 9 goals now, is he, I think?
Yeah, 9 goals, yeah.
I think 9, because in the contrary, I think he screwed that late one and they were talking about going to double figures.
That's what I was going to say, is that, like, this game could have been even more. It could have been 4, 5 or 6, you know. I mean, Irma hits the post twice. Philogene has what you think is, like, an easy finish in that second half.
Yeah, there was some really good chances created, but I think, yeah, my point I was making was, like, Philogene's on 9, Delap hasn't played for three months or something, and he's on 8, I think.
7 or 8, yeah.
7 or 8, two fans on 8, yeah, I think. Connolly's on 8, I think.
I just feel like because, you know, like, I don't think everyone's on everyone, 8.
Carvalho's now on 7, and you're like, all of our forwards are scoring, like, that. It just, like, you know, a lot of the time, those teams that tend to go up have that one guy who's getting 20 goals, and he's, like, the main man. Whereas we have kind of just, like, spread it amongst, like,
got, like, 5 guys on 8, which is, like, 40 goals between them.
Which is, like, it's crazy. But I guess it's, like, you know, you don't have that. I mean, it's an advantage and a disadvantage. You don't have that guy who you can rely on. You go, that's the guy who's going to score us goals. But also it means, like, the other team can't go, well, you know, Hernandez is going to be the guy that who's going to score their goals. So if we can take him out of the game, they've got nothing, because you've got, you know, 4 or 5 really talented players who can sort of score goals. And I think, you know, on Omer, I mean, he, from the little bit I saw, must have just been about best player on the pitch. I think he won the ball to set up the first goal, or, like, I think won the court, then it was a corner or something, and came in for that first goal. The shots that hit the post seem to be in everything, and I think we've sort of been praising his, you know, his involvement over the last couple of weeks anyway. So he's just grown into the game so quickly, like, way quicker than we thought in terms of acclimatization to England. So credit to him, and I think he deserved a goal from what I saw. The little bits I saw, he really deserves some stats to go next to all of his effort and endeavor.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is now, I mean, because I was about to say this front four almost looks locked in now because they've played so well against Cardiff, and you go, well, hang on, we've got, you know, Liam Delap to fit back into that front four as well, and you think, Toufan's probably continues to be that unlucky one that will probably drop out again. But in saying that, I mean, he plays, apparently his first assist for the season was that second goal for Carvalho, which I found quite amazing because it just feels like Toufan's been in amongst it with a lot of goals. But I mean, I think him and Omer playing together link up so well, obviously that Turkish connection. But yeah, it's crazy to think, we'll talk in a second about Middlesbrough and then more importantly with QPR is more likely to be the Delap return. But it's sort of wild to think that as well functioning as that forward line is, we've actually got arguably the most important piece still to fit back into it, which could make us even better.
Yeah, I think we were all, you know, when the injury news came in January or whatever, all very much like holding our breath to see what the extent was, and hoping that it wouldn't be as serious as first thought. And luckily it wasn't. And then it was a matter of going, well, how much of the run-in is he going to be there for? And if can he come back firing, which I guess is now, you know, we'll see over the next, I guess, couple of weeks, whether he is going to come back and how much game time he's going to get and how he's going to fit in and whether he can go get amongst the goals nice and quickly. Because if he can, I think, yeah, he's going to be super important in this last run of fixtures. Because, you know, it's that time of the season where I think, like, it's so unpredictable. In an already unpredictable league where anyone can beat anyone, this time of year is always crazy, because we've already seen, like, the amount of upsets and you know, results going for and against us over the last couple of match days has been immense. Games that's that you great, certainly, yeah. Like, yeah, we wouldn't have expected. I would have, you know, been thinking of the games, like I sort of was thinking Norwich would have been almost out of sight by now, but I think they dropped some points and then only got a draw, and suddenly we're like, if we can win those games and get level on games, we're only a point behind them, I think, then. So yeah. Then you go, as much as we're all ready to count ourselves out of the race after the Leeds game and say, well, that's the season done, it's actually, you know, well and truly alive. And I guess, you know, some will say, well, you know, it's out of our hands now. It becomes very mathematical and we're, you know, sort of depending on other results. But I think to an extent, it still very much is in our hands, because if we continue to win games and stay, you know, within touching distance and putting pressure, you know, on those other teams, then I think, you know, that's how we can affect our destiny, by just picking up the maximum number of points, putting pressure on those teams above us, and hopefully, having them crumble under the pressure that sort of affected us at times this season.
Oh, for sure. And I think the fact we've got Plymouth on the last day, you just want to be within, I think I said to Ant last week, you just want to be within 3 points, you know, 2 points behind, one point behind going into that final day, because we've got a winnable fixture, anything can happen, and you just want to be in with that chance. But I was just thinking, I drift my mind back to first day of the season and the fact that they got their winner against us after the ball's arguably gone out in the 101st minute or whatever it was. And you think back on that first day, you think, oh, you know, there's so much of the season to play out, but you can't help but think, if our season sort of essentially ends based on that decision, you know, that's the difference between the two teams. Not to mention, you look at the other game against them with Angus Gunn taking out Connolly and all those other issues as well. We've had a few controversial games against Norwich, which if it is to be, you know, Norwich sixth and us seventh, would certainly be make for an interesting off season. Look, I'll run through my votes and then get yours, and I'll use my votes as a chance to also praise Carvalho for his game. He got the 3 votes for me. He was a narrow one. I gave the 2 votes to Ömer, but yeah, Carvalho, that, you know, the well taken, well timed finish for his first goal, taking it on the volley basically, off that corner routine. As you said, I mean, we've just been missing that clinical finish from players, and it shows when players are clinical that the gameplay actually works. It's just that we haven't necessarily had the end product to show for it. And that second goal, again, you know, the teamwork, I think Carvalho is involved earlier in the move as well, and then is able to finish it off, you know, his technique to let it sort of drift through or roll through onto his other foot to wrong foot the keeper essentially was fantastic. And just had a terrific game in general. Ömer, for the 2 votes, you sort of touched on him already in terms of just his busyness around the ground. And I think we've seen now that he has sort of supplanted, surpassed Zaruri in the team. So Zaruri's I'd be shocked if Zaruri gets too many more looks in the side, other than potentially for a bit of rotational rest. I think Ömer on the right, Philogene on the left, just feels like a much more natural balance. So he's been brilliant to see. And then, yeah, I gave the 1 vote to Tufan, who I also thought was terrific. And I don't know, obviously next season Carvalho will be gone. We'll talk in a couple of weeks' time probably about how the squad might look. But I think for this season, at least, Tufan's probably the most unlucky player this season with how often he's found himself on the bench, despite how well he's played. But he got the one vote for me.
Yeah, I've gone actually incredibly similar. I went Carvalho for the three as well. I think two really important goals, two well-taken goals. And as much as I did praise Omer, I think, you know, end product is something that we've been lacking, and end product is what ends up winning your games. So I've given 3 points to Carvalho for that. But in saying that, again, I went 2 points to Omer for, you know, his involvements and his efforts across the game. I actually went 1 point to Philogene, though, for, I guess, you know, just for reacting, essentially. Like, I didn't see much of his all-round game, but just reacting in that moment to the Cardiff mistake and punishing. As frustrating as his set, the later chance was on the counter when he didn't quite capitalise. But it was nice, you know, skill, even on that second one, a nice bit of skill to evade, you know, turn and evade the defender and leave him behind on the ground, crumpled in a pile. But yeah, I think it was a very strange moment from Cardiff, just a lack of communication. Oh. They played
and the defender just had his back to the ball as well. It was bizarre. So very, you know, very great instincts to react to that. The only criticism I had of Philogene's game just quickly was, it's the same thing we've seen a few times where he's just very slow on the ball, doesn't necessarily play the first time pass when it's there. And it is, you know, you want the best forwards are selfish and confident in their abilities and want to do everything themselves. And we see that for that chance where he could have probably squared it to Seri for a tap in, but takes it on himself. When it comes off, you get the Rabona against Rotherham. When it doesn't, you get games like the Swansea or Stoke games where he's looked quite poor. But yeah, look, the goal hopefully kickstarts the last, you know, six games of the season for him, which start for us against Middlesbrough tomorrow morning, our time, which, you know, 4:45 a.m. We're back to the pretty gross wake-up times for these midweek games.
In their defense, at least I'll be able to watch the whole game before I have to go to work. So
that's right. Yeah, that's
bonus for me.
Yeah, and at least we've got the midnight kickoffs back for the weekend games, which is definitely a bit more palatable as well. But, you know, Middlesbrough, I think they're top of the form table at the moment, which kind of caught me by surprise. I think they're 8 or 9 games unbeaten. I'll say, you know, we're 8 games unbeaten with Greaves in the team, which is, you know, a nice stat in our defence as well. But I think we beat them 2-1 up at their place earlier in the season with those heroics from Allsop in the last couple of minutes of the fixture. But this is a massive game. This is essentially a playoff game, you know, in season, because I think whichever of the two sides loses this game is basically out of the playoff race. So it's a must-win game.
Yeah, I think it certainly is. It's going to be really tough because I think, you know, Borough's been, I think this, they've been a really strong side for the last couple of seasons. And I think they took a little while to get going, you know, this year, but I feel like they've timed it pretty well. They're in a good run of form going into, you know, this last little section of the season. So a very dangerous game, one that we will have to be up and ready for. But I think, like, So I think we play really nice football pretty much like all the time, and it's just going to be end product. If we can get a goal, you know, early on, I think that'll sort of make the difference. But if it's one of those where if we go for long periods with a lot of pressure and don't get one in the net, I think then we'll cop a sucker punch and heads will drop a little bit. I think, you know, that we might struggle, but I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's gonna be a really good game tomorrow morning. And I'm hopeful for a victory. You know, it was a while ago that who was it? Was it Morton said, you know, when there was like 15 games to go or something?
Oh, Giles, I think was saying we have to go undefeated.
Oh yeah, Giles, why can't we go undefeated? Well, you know, let's pick it up again. Why can't we?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's been, you know, there's been some good comments in the press lately from some of the boys. I was reading a thing about Omer before when you mentioned him and Tufan linking up, and he said like Tufan's been like a brother to him in welcoming him and helping him settle in and everything. So that was, you know, good. And I've seen some other things, but, you know, they just need to they just need to get it done. They can't worry about what everyone else is doing. They just need to stick to the game plan, and you know that the evidence that it works, and you know it has been in the performances like generally. And then like you know you go to Cardiff, where we've actually put it all into place and it's worked, shows that it can. So I think they just need to do the same again. And I'm hopeful for the same result. I'm hopeful for 3 points. Continue to put pressure on the teams above us.
I think this is almost a perfect game for us in the sense that, you know, Borough aren't going to come to the MCAM and sit back and defend because they need the win just as much as us. And I think it's when those teams do that, that's when we struggle. But you look at the Leicester game recently, which was 2-2. It was an entertaining game end to end. And I think with the amount that's just riding on this game, I think it plays into our hands in that sense. So I do feel pretty confident heading into this game. I think you look at the first fixture against them outside, you know, Ladde Leth got the first goal after 10 minutes or something, sort of caught us cold. And then after that, we kind of settled into the game and were quite the better side. I haven't seen a whole lot of Borough recently. Obviously, they've improved a fair bit given their results, but and they sit, you know, one place above us in the table now. But I think it's, you know, that performance against Cardiff is one of those ones where, you know, I'd said previously when we beat Southampton and stuff that you can't expect that performance against teams that play a different way. Whereas for Cardiff, I'm like, I think because we just played the way we always play and Cardiff tried to sit back but just couldn't do it, it actually gives us that confidence. And I think it also means that the lineup that we produced actually has that confidence in their sort of synergies and how they play together, where I don't necessarily see any changes to the lineup. I think if Giles and Coyle are both not quite ready to go, which sounds to be the case, if we just go with Jacob and Slater again at fullback and then just keep everyone else the same, I don't see any reason why we can't replicate that sort of performance that we had against Cardiff and why the players wouldn't think that they can, knowing that they have to go for the win in this one. So I'm confident. I'm looking at this as like a probably a 2-0, maybe a 2-1 win against Borough. But I think, you know, as you sort of said at the start of the episode, though, once you get to these games with so much pressure on them, we seem to sort of lose our nerve a little bit. And it'd be such a shame if we lost this game before Delap comes back into the side and we're sort of, it's all academic and you think we haven't even given ourselves a chance to see what we can do.
Yeah, I think it would be really frustrating if, you know, if we lost this one. I don't know whether it'd be more frustrating to get, you know, to win this and then still finish a point off Norwich and be looking at that decision from game one of the season going, well, it only can, like, our season was done before it even began almost. But no, I think like this is a game that I would really hate to look back at, you know, lose this one, win all the others and then finish, you know, 3 points off and go, or like 2 points off or whatever, and just be going, well, shit.
Yeah.
I think as I sort of touched on, the players seem to have been in a good headspace with the right attitude. They seem to, you know, they're buying into Rosie's tactics. The performances are starting to turn into, like, I mean, it's a weird thing to say, the performances are starting to turn into results because they've like been generating results all year. But I think we've been in a bit of a slump where we haven't been really picking up lots of points over the last, you know, 8 games. I think there's quite a few draws in there, a couple of disappointing losses. And so I think, yeah, trying to sort of just turn it on for the run in. They're just going to go for it and get some goals, get some points, keep pushing up the table.
Absolutely. And we'll just end in quickly, just round off with that. We've also got the QPR game this weekend. I think the biggest highlight of this obviously being the return of Delap. I suspect we'll probably see him off the bench to start with just because of his match fitness. But, you know, following off on the Borough game, you know, it has to be 6 points from these two games, but you just want to be going into that QPR game with 3 points in the bank against Borough, kind of all to play for. It's a QPR side who are basically safe now. I mean, they're sort of mid-table. I mean, they're only 4 points above the bottom three, so you think, oh, that doesn't mathematically mean they're safe. But and I suppose Sheff Wednesday did get a draw this morning, but there's enough teams between them and the bottom three now that I think for all of those sides to overtake QPR would be quite unlikely. And it's not so much about the points as the team barrier in that sense. So you'd hope coming into the weekend that maybe QPR have taken their foot off the gas a little bit more susceptible. But look, it'd be interesting if we can get 6 points from two home games. That's been the biggest challenge all season. But we've just got to go for it. And look, a Delap goal in this game would be brilliant just to get him, you know, hitting the ground running. So I'm backing a 3-0 win in this one and Delap to seal it in the, you know, 80th minute sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to hopefully seeing Delap get back onto the pitch against QPR. That'll be really a nice sight. I'm fairly confident. I think you're right. 6 points has to be the benchmark, has to be the expectation. I guess the toughest part of that is home games and home form's not been, super conducive to great football and lots of wins. But, you know, what better time to turn it around than now? I guess the only other thing is that just to try and get through these games unscathed as well. Because I think, you know, we're actually starting to settle into a very powerful sort of first 11, and albeit sort of we did that without our two, preferred wide defenders against Cardiff. But I think, you know, if we, I don't think we can really afford to lose kind of anyone. Like you look at how significant, how influential and how impactful they all are. Like, I think, you know, even you lose a Seri or a Morton or something and suddenly the whole dynamic shifts with how we play. You lose any of the forwards and you go, well, there's the potential for a lot of goals that has disappeared. So I think as much as it's, getting the results, I think also we just have to cross our fingers and, pray to whatever God there are. That we can come through this without any other injuries, because I think that could be really damaging to the run in as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's to a clean bill of health come this time next week and 6 points in the bank. But look, thank you for joining me for this one, Dan.
Not a problem.
And thanks everyone for listening in. Hopefully we're back this time next week celebrating two wins in the bank for City and a promotion push kicking on and a fit and firing Delap as well. So until next time, come on City.
You've been listening to the official Hull City Australia podcast, The Tigers Down Under. For more discussion, join us on Facebook at the Hull City AFC Australia Facebook group, or follow us on Twitter at Hull City AFC Oz. The music was created by Amber Black. All the city's on fire, with a burning desire. Tigers are roaring, a destiny's calling, 'cause now it's the time, yeah, the city's on fire. We're going higher and higher. There's no turning back 'cause you're out.